we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever or whatever you guess the kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with DeGrom. I'm your host, David Cromwell, and I'm joined as always by my right-hand man, Hal Bent, of Full Press Coverage. There have been some NFL seasons in recent years where it feels like the gap between the best and worst teams isn't quite evident. But 5 weeks into this 2023 season, I think it's safe to say that this isn't one of those years, because we have a few teams that are playing very, very good football and several others who are playing atrociously bad. Does it feel that way, Hal?
David, that is exactly 100% the way I feel as well. I think we're looking at a situation here where it's San Francisco, Philly, and everyone else.
It definitely does feel that way right now, Hal. It definitely looks as if the 49ers and Eagles are a step ahead of everybody else, although I do expect some other teams to join them at the top in the weeks ahead. But still, the dichotomy between the top and bottom this year is far more pronounced than it has been compared to recent years. And now let's talk about our biggest takeaways from week five. What was your biggest takeaway from week five, Hal?
Well, you kind of stole it there from me, David. You know, we're really seeing the separation between the haves and the have-nots. But boy, the unstoppable force that is the Miami Dolphins offense. Holy cow. You know, we knew it would take their defense a little bit of time to get up to speed, but they continue clicking on all cylinders. And I'm very excited to see what happens in the future with rookie Devin Achain injured as well, but there is just no slowing this team down. Number one so far in total yards, number one in passing yards, number one in rushing yards. This kind of domination isn't supposed to happen in the NFL. I don't think we've seen anything like it since Peyton Manning's first year in Denver, 2007 Patriots. This is crazy record-breaking stuff right now. So Miami, wow, the Miami touchdown machine is rolling.
It most certainly is, and Tua Tagovailoa is on pace to break Peyton Manning's single-season passing yardage record that he set in 2013, which was actually his second year in Denver. And my biggest takeaway from Week 5 is this. As Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni has said many times, show me a good coach, and I'll show you good players. Well, the season's Bill Belichick's Patriots and Sean Payton's Broncos are having thus far is proving Nick Sirianni right. Because this is by far the worst I've ever seen a Bill Belichick coach team play, ever. As you probably can attest to being from New England, Hal. Like, they just look so out of sorts on both sides of the ball. Past the decision-making from Belichick is coming back to bite them big time in the post-Tom Brady era. And Sean Payton, you can't blame most of it on him because he inherited a big mess in Denver that has been festering for 7 or 8 years now. But still, it just goes to show you that at the end of the day, 99.9% of coaches, no matter how great they are only as good as their players. And given the extreme lack of talent and depth in both Denver and New England right now, Bill Belichick and Sean Payton are facing that reality now, and that's all there is to it.
100% agree with that, David. You know, a good coach will steal you one win a season. That's at best. And no doubt about it, it's the players on the field, how they work together, what their health is, your luck level, so many different factors. Like Tom Brady always said, you know, it sometimes looks easy, but it never is. It's hard to win games in the NFL, and that's 100% true.
Yeah, and it's especially hard when you don't have a guy like Tom Brady or Drew Brees leading your offense. That's exactly what Bill Belichick and Sean Payton are experiencing this season. And now let's hand out our weekly honors for week five. How about our all caps go to the week, Hal?
Go to the week? Hey, I'll go all the way back to Thursday night because I'm still impressed by that in performance. DJ Moore, what game he had for the Bears. 8 for 230, 3 touchdowns, and 100% game changer. Boy, you know, Carolina at 0-5 could really use a wide receiver like him.
Oh, they most certainly can. Bears looks like they absolutely stole DJ Moore and potentially the first overall pick in the 2024 NFL draft. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But the Carolina Panthers so far are regretting the move they made to get Bryce Young and having to give up DJ Moore to do so, because there is absolutely zero help for Bryce Young right now on that offense. And my all caps go to the week for week five, 49ers linebacker Fred Warner. I've been obsessed with this guy since I saw him at the Senior Bowl in 2018. He was one of the standouts at practice, flying all over the field, making plays. And he was drafted by the 49ers in the third round several months later. And he has become the best linebacker in the NFL today. And he showed you why on Sunday night by forcing a fumble, by sacking Dak Prescott near the end zone on a third and short, and by intercepting a pass, by dropping back in coverage towards the left side of the field, and immediately, with that amazing sideline-to-sideline speed, shifting all the way to the right to pick that pass off. Fred Warner is a unicorn, man. He is that special, and I just cannot envision this 49ers defense without Fred Warner. Well, you could say Nick Bosa is more valuable, but I would say he and Nick Bosa are almost equally as valuable given the system the 49ers run. And Fred Warner, I wouldn't be surprised if he's wearing a gold jacket one day. That's how special he is. He is my all caps go to the week for week five. And now for my duds of the week, Baltimore Ravens pass catchers. Just catch the ball. You cost yourselves a key win on the road in the division by 36 balls they dropped?
Oh, my God.
It definitely sounded that way. Absolutely. That's a metaphor, but they were just dropping everything. And that almost single-handedly cost the Ravens a key victory. And the Ravens, a week ago, we thought they had a chance to pull away in the AFC North. Now, not so much. It is going to be an uphill climb for every team in that division to come out on top. What about your dunce of the week, Hal?
Well, I you know what? You made up my mind talking about Carolina when we started talking about DJ Moore, and I said, you know what? Scott Fitterer, general manager of Carolina, you traded away DJ Moore, traded away Christian McCaffrey too. What the heck did you get for these two guys? You know, you got Bryce Young and nobody to throw to. I mean, it just stood out. Christian McCaffrey, what is it? Like, you know, hasn't lost a game other than the game they played without a quarterback since he went to San Francisco. He scores a touchdown every single game he's been at, something like 13 straight games. Carolina can't get the ball 10 yards down the field, and they give away two outstanding young offensive key pieces for what? Dunce of the week, Scott Fitterer, general manager, Carolina, on display for all to see.
And may those trades be cautionary tales to teams who are probably going to be wheeling and dealing as the trading deadline draws near. Yes, the Panthers got a promising young quarterback, but they had to surrender two of their best players to do so, and they have not come even close to replacing either DJ Moore or Christian McCaffrey. So a warning to teams, if you want to trade away one of your best players to put you in better position to go draft a quarterback next spring, beware, because you could be making your team even worse in the process and putting even more unnecessary pressure on your rookie quarterback. And as you said at the top, Hal, through the first 5 weeks of the 2023 season, it is safe to say that nobody is playing better football right now than the San Francisco 49ers. And while plenty of credit should go to the Niners, extremely talented and deep roster, elite coaching staff from top to bottom, and Kyle Shanahan's near quarterback-proof offense, it's time to start giving a lot of credit to Brock Purdy as well. The 49ers, check this out, they have scored 30 or more points in 10 of Purdy's 11 regular season starts and are undefeated in every game he has started and finished, with the exception of that NFC Championship game that you alluded to. Moreover, according to David Lombardi, who covers the 49ers for The Athletic, Brock Purdy, who has a current QBR of 83.7, is on track to have the highest QBR in a season of any quarterback since Aaron Rodgers in 2011. No quarterback has ever been more productive for the 49ers since Kyle Shanahan took over in 2017. Do you think Brock Purdy should be considered for 2023 NFL MVP if he and the 49ers keep this up? Do I hear a sympatico alert?
Yeah, you definitely do, David. No doubt about it. Sound that sympatico alert. Yeah, let's face it. If it was just the system, Trey Lance would be the quarterback there right now. So let's be clear. Brock Purdy is a heck of a quarterback right now and probably the most underrated quarterback right now. So until he wins the Super Bowl, which will probably be this year, but, until he gets that attention, let's face it. It's he is one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. And maybe he doesn't do the fancy no-look passes or anything like that. But what he does is he gets the ball out and he makes that correct decision every single time. And that's what makes that offense hum. If you've got playmakers, you get them the ball in stride, and that accuracy, arm strength is more than enough to do that. Brock Purdy for MVP, I'm there 100%.
Another thing that stands out about Brock Purdy is his footwork, his feet, the way they move in rhythm to the routes and to the drop. It's just almost music-like, according to Mark Schlereth, who talked a lot about Brock Purdy on his podcast this week. And that's another underrated component of Brock Purdy's game that makes him the amazing decision maker and rhythm passer that he is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's hitting on all cylinders right now. He's the, that great point guard. He can do whatever it takes, distribute the ball, but he'll make that play too. He stands in there when he has to. And on those rare occasions, it's third and long. He's got playing with such great confidence, such great fundamentals, and just a perfect fit for that Shanahan offense. And like you say, that's the NFL these days. You never know. Sometimes it's these late round guys that beat out the number three overall pick, and that's what makes football so exciting.
Oh, you said it, Hal. And I just came across these numbers for Brock Purdy, also from David Lombardi, 49ers beat reporter for The Athletic. Brock Purdy also leads the NFL in completion percentage on passes that have traveled over 10 air yards this season at 72.1%. Everybody coming into this season was like, oh, he's just a Deacon Doug quarterback. He's proven you wrong there, too.
For sure. Like I said, when he needs to stand in there and wheel that ball downfield, the evidence is right there on the tape. You see it week in and week out. He is a legitimate MVP candidate, keeping this train rolling in San Francisco.
He most certainly is, if not the front runner for a 2023 NFL MVP at this time. And while we still have 13 weeks remaining in the regular season, we cannot ignore the real possibility of the Chicago Bears being in a fascinating position in the 2024 NFL draft. Keep in mind, as we alluded to, the Bears own the winless Panthers first round pick in addition to their own, and they are the betting favorite to end up with the top pick either way. However, after a rocky start, Justin Fields has been lights out these past 2 weeks, throwing for 8 touchdowns, 617 yards, and just one interception. Granted, he faced two of the worst defenses in the NFL, but you can't ignore the signs that he could actually become the guy after all. So my question to you, Hal, is this. If the Bears end up with the first overall pick and Justin Fields consistently plays at a very high level for the rest of the season, do the Bears, A, keep Fields and trade the top pick, or B, keep the top pick and trade Fields?
Oh, man, that is a tough one because, again, we know there's nothing guaranteed, but, Caleb Williams right now is, that next Trevor Lawrence, that next Andrew Luck. The hype train is rolling. Every game you see him on Saturday, he really doesn't have anything else left to prove at the collegiate level. He looks like he's going to become one of the next great quarterbacks in the NFL. And I don't know how you pass on him. I just don't know how you do that. So for the Bears, that's a heck of a conundrum. But and look, there's not many bigger Justin Fields fans than me. I love the guy coming out of school. I think he's, the Bears offense hasn't been doing him the most favors. I would get see there, but, still oodles of talent. The ceiling is sky high, but as high as that ceiling is it Caleb Williams' height? Oh, I don't know. I think I'd have to bite the bullet and, roll the dice there with Caleb Williams, because he could be that once a decade kind of quarterback, and be a long time till you see someone else like him.
Oh, absolutely. And you reset the clock with a quarterback rookie contract, which gives you an enormous advantage in roster building. So there's another advantage to doing that, too. Completely, completely agree. But there may be another NFC North team entering that conversation for the first overall pick of the 2024 draft. And that team is the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings currently find themselves in a hole at 1-4 and just put their best player in Justin Jefferson on injured reserve with a hamstring injury. And Adam Schefter also reported that there is a real possibility that Jefferson's absence may be much longer than 4 games, especially if the Vikings don't start winning and stay competitive during his absence. Should that happen, it may be beneficial for both the Vikings and Jefferson if the star wide receiver is shut down for the remainder of the season. For Jefferson, such an absence could increase his price tag in contract negotiations. And for the Vikings, such an absence increases their odds of landing one of the top 2 picks of the draft and thus their quarterback of the future, neither Caleb Williams or Drake May. And by the way, many around the NFL and on draft Twitter don't believe there's that big of a gap from Caleb Williams to Drake May. So if the Vikings lose each of their next 4 games, would you consider putting Jefferson on ice for the remainder of 2023?
I wouldn't. And, you know, as enticing as that is, and as much as the Vikings are going to need a quarterback probably next year, and this is probably the best thing, you got to sell your coach on that. You got to sell your locker room and players on that. And I just don't think that is going to be a very good sell over there. You know, Harrison Smith, Danielle Hunter, Byron Murphy, Marcus Davenport, you know, Alexander Mattison, Kirk Cousins. These guys are playing for their next contract here. They're not interested in the first round pick, those guys out on the field. And I don't think head coach Kevin O'Connell is too excited about ending a season 3-14 either, because he may not be around to take advantage of that quarterback if things crater out so bad. So for the Vikings, you know, does it make sense on paper? Yes, but good luck trying to sell that in the locker room there. So, no, I think they're going to be out there and trying to win, and they're going to be expecting Justin Jefferson back as well, so that, you know, that team can get some W's and build up those stats and look forward to that next contract just like he is looking forward to it.
Great points as always, Al, but it's going to be very interesting to see which route Jefferson and the Vikings decide to go for the remainder of this season. And now it's time to play our favorite game, Truth or Exaggeration. You know how this game works, Al. I make a statement, and then you let me know whether you think I'm telling the truth or whether I'm exaggerating it, then explain why. And we start in Cincinnati, where Joe Burrow is back to his old self, and the Bengals will make the playoffs as a wild card team at minimum. Truth or exaggeration?
Yeah, it should be an exaggeration, as bad as they looked these first 4 weeks. But, man, they looked good last week. And we've been, you know, maybe it was just the delayed emergence for Joe Burrow. Look, I'm not going to bet against Joe Burrow, man. That man has the drive to succeed, and he is a great quarterback. And I think that's a sign that his health is back on track, which means that, yes, they Bengals are back on track as well and should be roaring back into the playoff race very soon.
I agree with you there. And now on to Buffalo. Due to the season-ending injuries to Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano, arguably the two best players on that defense, the Bills will not make it to Super Bowl 58. Truth or exaggeration?
Yeah, I'm going to go truth. I mean, they got a tough path as it is just to win the AFC East with that Miami offense running. And if that defense starts to make improvements in Miami, nobody's catching up to them right now in the AFC East. Plus, you still have Kansas City. Plus, you've got their nemesis Cincinnati roaring in. You got the chance of Baltimore being there, potentially Pittsburgh. There's a lot of competition in the AFC. The road to the Super Bowl, very tough road. And for Buffalo as well, you know, you see this happen too many times to teams. You know, they get to this point where all those extra games in the postseason start piling up and the players start aging. And the other injury too, DaQuan Jones, a huge injury there on that defensive line next to Ed Oliver. I mean, now you're going with Jordan Phillips. Truth. Oh, the more I think of that.
And it's such a bummer given how well the Bills were playing in weeks 2, 3, and 4. The period leading up to the October 31st trade deadline will be busier than usual this season because of the quarterbacks of the 2024 NFL draft. Truth or exaggeration?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a truth. I think you're going to see some of these teams that are down at the bottom of the division and that are really thinking, you know, is it time to get that next quarterback? Minnesota, New England, you know, even Denver throw in there, Arizona, if you can get one of those top two quarterbacks, I think they're in that mix as well. So those teams, yeah, you know, unload some salary cap to roll over into next year, clear out, you know, scoop up a couple extra draft picks or move up a couple of rounds. Definitely it's to that advantage. I think it might be a pretty decent trade market. You know, the NFL is starting to get better at making in-season trades and having that trading deadline be an event like it is in baseball and other sports, but I think it's getting there. So yeah, I think for a lot of teams, hey, you know, you don't have a lot of teams, that, a lot of years where you've got these type of quarterbacks coming out that are potentially going 1-2. And there's a lot of teams that are right there in striking distance and probably will be at the end of the month as well. You know, these 2-3 teams, 3-2 teams that are littering the standings right now in the NFL. A lot of those teams are going to be looking to get to the playoffs and looking for a couple of pieces to push them over the top. And these teams with losing records can take advantage of that and load up for next year.
Indeed. And we all expected the Detroit Lions to be very, very good this season, which they are. But we didn't see this coming. Their rookie tight end, Sam Laporta, is making history and doing things that almost no rookie tight end does. Through the first 5 games of his career, he has 25 receptions, which is third most all-time among NFL rookie tight ends. And he also has at least 275 receiving yards and 3 touchdowns within that span. And he is only the second tight end in NFL history to do that his rookie season. So truth or exaggeration, Lions tight end Sam Laporta will make All-Pro as a rookie.
I'm going to have to go with an exaggeration only because, you know, he's still not the best Iowa tight end in the NFL right now. So this is the only guy out on the West Coast I've heard of who's doing pretty well from Iowa. So I got to go with an exaggeration on this. But man, yeah, Laporta, he's looking like a steal at the top of the second round right now. I mean, this was a deep tight end group in the draft, but he is leading that pack. And looks like he should have gone in the first round.
Oh, it absolutely does. And now on to your New England Patriots, who just might be at the end of the Belichick era as we speak. Bill Belichick obviously wants to continue coaching, but buzz has it that Bob Kraft doesn't view him as non-expendable. So truth or exaggeration, Bill Belichick will break Don Shula's record for the most wins by a head coach all time as head coach of another team.
You know, 4 weeks ago, I would have said exaggeration. At this point, you know, it might be a truth here. This is going to take a full rebuild in New England. And they've kicked that can down the lane for the last 3 years. I was of the opinion as soon as Tom Brady left in spring of 2020 there back in March and went to Tampa, they should have blown it all up right then. Tanked for Trevor would have been the right move to make. You know, Belichick, Kraft, they're both getting up there in age. Neither one of them are really looking at that's the way to go. But I think Bob Kraft is going to have to accept that. And then it's a matter of, you know, do you think you're going to invest another 3, 4, 5 years of Bill Belichick as your head coach? Is he going to want to do that? Or is he going to throw up his hands at some point and say, I've made enough money, I've coached enough, I'm done, I'm out of here, and leave with it half full? Remember, Bob Kraft got burnt by Bill Parcells leaving after that 1997 Super Bowl. So that's in the back of his mind there as well. So it may be the situation if they're going to go full rebuild, they're going to have to do it with a full fresh start there. And somebody who can get the team and fan base and Bob Kraft excited and on an what they think would be an accelerated rebuild. And I don't think that's the way that Bill Belichick would do it.
You said it, Hal. And last but not least, for truth or exaggeration this week, we go to Kansas City. If the Chiefs don't score 40 to 50 points tonight against the historically abysmal Broncos defense, it's time to panic about their offense. Truth or exaggeration?
Yeah, it's a truth. I mean, this Broncos defense, my God, they gave up 31 points to the Jets. They've got one offensive player out there right now with Zach Wilson at quarterback. It's the Breece Hall show. He can't even push the ball downfield to their one good wide receiver. Yeah, Broncos, oh, terrible, terrible. Worse than I even anticipated. Kansas City, you've got to be worried if you're not dropping 40 on this defense.
Completely agree. And speaking of the Chiefs-Broncos game tonight, it's time to make our picks for all these week six games, starting with our locks of the week. What is your lock of the week, Cal?
My lock of the week, I am going all the way to Monday night and making what I think a lot of people are going to be is a close game. I'm making that my lock of the week. Dallas was humiliated. I think it's time for the Cowboys to bounce. The Chargers are that poor team sitting in their way right now. So look for Dallas to shake off that loss in San Francisco and take it out on poor Los Angeles. Going out to the West Coast, it's like a vacation for Dallas. They got an extra day for the Monday night. Half the stadium's going to be full of Cowboy fans anyways. It'll feel like a home game. Dallas 34, Chargers 17 on Monday Night Football.
Before we get to my lock of the week, I'm going to say I disagree with you here because the Cowboys were exposed big time by the 49ers. With Mike McCarthy now calling the plays, Dak Prescott just doesn't look the same anymore as he was with Kellen Moore. And now Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator for the Chargers. And I see this as the Kellen Moore revenge game. And the Chargers are going to be able to exploit the numerous injuries on that Cowboys defense right now. Trayvon Diggs, obviously, obviously. You got Leighton Vander Esch now out. At Leighton Vander Esch is a very underrated part of that Dan Quinn defense in Dallas because Dan Quinn loves those speedy sideline-to-sideline linebackers that Micah Parsons cannot be off the ball all the time. He's got to go rush the passer. So I definitely think the Chargers have the horses and the quarterback to exploit that Dan Quinn defense. And I think they do in a tight 27-24 win over the Cowboys. And my lock of the week, yes, we talked about them unlikely to make it to the Super Bowl because of the season-ending injuries to two of their best defensive players. But there's no way in hell the Bills are going to lose to the New York Giants. Absolutely not. The New York Giants are just barely better, if not just as worse or even slightly worse than the Broncos and Bears and maybe even the Panthers. That's how bad the Giants are this year. That's all there is to it. And on top of the Daniel Jones might not play as bad as he's doing. Well, it doesn't make a difference, but still it's a downgrade from him to Tyrod Taylor. And, Darren Waller is banged up as well. It's going to be a blowout in Western New York with the Bills absolutely thrashing the Giants. So I hear a sympatico alert there.
I've got the Bills winning, yes, indeed. And that is a huge point spread out there on DraftKings. I've got the Bills winning the game, but maybe a little garbage score at the end for the Giants gets them covering the spread. I've got it Buffalo 30, Giants 22. Not as close as the score is, though.
Definitely. Scores can be deceiving at times. And now on to our upset specials for week six. What do you got, Hal?
My upset special? Well, after that big game with Baltimore last week, look, I'm still trying to figure out the Ravens this year. The defense, definitely legit. The offense fits and starts. It's tough coming back, coming off of a couple of road division games, going into Cleveland and getting, going up against that tough defense, and then that game against Pittsburgh's always, you know, just a series of haymakers. And they've got one more road game, and it's against Tennessee, and it's across the pond. This is just lining up to be just a nightmare for Baltimore. I think this is my upset special. Tennessee, they're not the better team, but they are this week in an ugly, low-scoring 15-12 win over the Ravens. That's my upset special.
I see this as a relatively low-scoring game as well, and I think it's going to be close. But I just don't see the Ravens making the same mistakes they made against the Steelers. And unlike the Steelers, the Titans don't have the best defense anymore. And Derrick Henry has shown that he is slowly but surely declining. And I think the Ravens make enough plays to win a close game 20-17 over the Tennessee Titans in London. And my upset special, believe it or not, Hal, yes, they're a bad team, and yes, they're probably nearing the end of an era right now, but I still trust Bill Belichick more than I do Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is lucky as you know what that the Raiders were able to hang on and win that game. You have 4th-and-1 against one of the most suspect run defenses in the entire NFL at Green Bay, and instead of going for it, give the ball to Josh Jacobs to ice the game, you attempt a 53-yard field goal after you missed a field goal from a similar distance earlier in the game, and you miss it again. Josh McDaniels just continues to make bogus decision after bogus decision. The Raiders are lucky to have 2 wins so far. I don't see them being lucky again against the Patriots. I'm going with the Patriots over the Raiders as my upset special this week, but that's because there weren't many attractive games to choose from. who do you have winning that game, Hal?
I've got Vegas taking that game. Patriots, it's time to tank. Take Vegas, but I'll take New England to cover the point spread there. Vegas 17, New England 16.
And now let's pick the rest of these Week 6 games. Starting tonight in Kansas City with the Chiefs hosting the Broncos. I think it's going to go exactly as planned. I think the Chiefs have a get-right night on offense and score 40 to 50 points, and the Broncos take one more step closer toward that rebuild that they so urgently need, and crashing for Caleb or dubbing for Drake. I like the Chiefs. Let's call it 52-21.
Ooh, I want to believe the Kansas City offense is going to get back on track. And like we said, if it's less than 40, we should be concerned. I mean, they're going to win. They're going to cover the point spread, but we're still going to be concerned. Travis Kelce, less than 100% with that ankle. Who knows? He could trip on the turf again, looking for pop stars up in the, you know, in the luxury suites. I don't know. Anything could happen here. So I'm going with Kansas City, but 24-10, lower scoring game, and more questions about that Chiefs offense.
Whoa, it would be very intriguing if that happened. And there is a battle for sole possession of first place in the AFC South with the Colts traveling to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars. If Anthony Richardson was playing in this game, I would have been tempted to pick the Colts. But unfortunately, he is not, as he suffered a grade 3 AC joint sprain in his right throwing shoulder, which is expected to keep him out 1 to 2 months. And as much as I believe in Shane Steichen long-term, I just do not trust Gardner Minshew to beat his former team for first place in the AFC South. I like the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at this game coming up a few weeks ago, and with Indianapolis, I said, you know, that's a game they can go into Jacksonville and steal. But yeah, without Richardson, I don't see it. I'm just not a believer in the Minshew mania. I'm sorry. Jacksonville takes it 24-17 over those pesky Colts.
The New Orleans Saints, after their impressive drubbing of your Patriots, travel to Houston to take on a Texans team coming off a heartbreaking last-second loss to the Atlanta Falcons. But D'Amico Ryan said it best. The Texans are on the cusp of greatness as long as they fine-tune some details. And I agree with him. The fact that C.J. Stroud was able to lead a go-ahead touchdown drive in the final 2 minutes of that game after a day where the offense struggled just shows how special he is. And I actually see the Texans getting back on track. I think their defense does more than enough to keep the Saints offense out of the end zone for most of the day. And the offense does just enough to score more points. I like the Texans to bounce back.
David, you just made me, oh my God, I'm going back to my dunce of the week. Scott Fitter, GM at Carolina. You didn't draft C.J. Stroud. Throw that on there too. Holy cow. How did I forget to pile on with that? Oh, gosh. Yeah, Houston, love C.J. Stroud leading that offense. Damian Pierce, Devin Singletary is a nice third down back there, and to give him a breather, a little depth. I am loving it. Nico Collins. Oh,
Tank Dell, their rookie wide receiver.
Tank Dell,
he's a
baby.
Weapon.
Oh, the tank. Yes, indeed. So I'm all in on Houston. I'm on the bandwagon right now. The Saints, as good as they looked, guess what? They got another road game. They're riding high. They're due for a letdown. Houston 24, New Orleans 20, all in on the Texans.
And the team that beat the Texans last week, the Atlanta Falcons, they return home this week to host the struggling Washington Commanders. Like, this Washington Commanders defense, at least on paper for the past several years, has been one of the most talented in the entire NFL, yet they continue year after year after year after year to underachieve. And that's a big reason why not just you, Jack Del Rio, but Ron Rivera, your seat is smoking hot right now. And it's going to be even more smoking hot by the end of Sunday. Desmond Ridder looked like he actually could have a future in the NFL last Sunday. He was completing some big boy throws against a very, very talented Houston Texans defense. And I think he continues it against that Jack Del Rio secondary that always blows coverages. It always shows vanilla looks. It's just not going to work even against the most suspect quarterbacks in the league. I like the Falcons.
Oh, man, I tell you, David, I can't. This is like the matchup of the two teams I just can't figure out this year. I mean, I just throw up my hands looking at Atlanta and Washington. And like you said, you know, Washington, you feel like they should be better with all that, those talented players on defense. And Atlanta, you feel like they should be better with all those talented skill position players on offense. I just can't decide on this one. I just have a feeling somehow things are going to even Steven out between these teams. So let's see. Atlanta's 3-2 and Washington's 2-3, and they're both 500 teams. I mean, it's Washington's winning 30-28 over Atlanta.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who would agree with you about that, Hal, because these two teams have definitely had Jekyll and Hyde kind of persona so far this season. And the Miami Dolphins and that potentially historic record-breaking offense host the only winless team left in the NFL in the Carolina Panthers this weekend. And I don't think it's even going to be close. Panthers absolutely have no support for Bryce Young on offense, and their secondary is absolutely atrocious without J.C. Horn. And not having Shaq Thompson also has hurt that defense as well. I like the Dolphins, and it's not going to be close. Dolphins 35, Panthers 17.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it the same way, David, as well. Point spread's 13.5, and I think that's way too low. You could give me 20 points. I'm still picking the Dolphins at this point. So Miami, easy, easy win at home. I have it 40-14 over Carolina.
The Chicago Bears, coming off that impressive win over the Washington Commanders last Thursday, host the Vikings this week at home. If Justin Jefferson was playing, I would have probably leaned a little bit toward the Vikings. But now that he's not playing, and given that the Vikings defense is still a unit in transition, I actually believe the Bears continue that momentum from last Thursday night with a victory over the Vikings. I like the Bears.
Down that simpatico alert. Chicago's playing themselves out of that number one pick, or at least the number two pick.
At least the number two pick.
You got it. You got it. You knew right where I was going. I got it. Yeah, Carolina. They still got that Carolina dub pick there. So they're playing themselves out of the number two pick, let me say here. Yeah, Minnesota on the road. No Justin Jefferson. This looks like a disaster for them. Give it to the Bears, 24-20.
The Cincinnati Bengals, after getting a much, much needed win and in impressive fashion over the Cardinals last week in the desert, they return home to face the Seattle Seahawks. I'm a big fan of the Seahawks roster. I love Geno Smith. I love Pete Carroll. But at the same time, I just do not want to bet against Joe Burrow. The Bengals are going to be playing the rest of the season as if their season is on the line. They played like it last week, and I don't expect Joe Burrow to stop now. I like the Bengals.
I think this is going to be one of the best games of the week here. I think both of these teams, the talent on offense for Cincinnati, Geno Smith, like you said, on Seattle, those young cornerbacks there in Seattle as well. It's going to be a heck of a matchup against those wide receivers. This is going to be such a fun game. And it may just come down to who's going to run the ball better. And in that case, I give Kenneth Walker the edge over Joe Mixon. So I've got to go with Seattle, 24-20 over the Bengals.
It's going to be a close one for sure in Cincy on Sunday. And to Northern Ohio, the Cleveland Browns host the Seahawks division rivals. They have the best team in the NFL currently, the 49ers. I love the Browns defense, but that said, Deshaun Watson has a bum shoulder, no Nick Chubb, and even if Deshaun Watson does play on Sunday, I just do not trust this Browns offense to keep up with this 49ers offense. Yes, the defense might keep it competitive for about three quarters maybe, but the 49ers probably pull away in the end. I like the 49ers 28-17 over the Browns.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to that score as well, David. San Francisco's 7-point favorites in this game, even on the road. And yes, that Cleveland defense is fantastic, but you know what San Francisco's going to do against a fantastic defense? They're only going to score 30 points. That's all. So San Francisco 30, Cleveland 4 field goals. Make it 30-12.
And a battle in the NFC West in LA as the Rams host the Cardinals. And I've been impressed with Jonathan Gannon and the new culture he's building in Arizona. But losing James Conner on offense just sets that offense back tremendously. James Conner, it was the tone setter for that offense the first 4 weeks. Yes. He's given the physicality with which he runs with. You just cannot replace that, and they're going to be missing that badly on Sunday against the Rams, and I just don't see how that secondary is going to be able to contain the lethal twosome of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. I like the Rams on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell with a big play built in there as well, and you know, Joshua Dobbs has done a great job in the desert so far, but he can only do so much here. I think that Cardinals will keep it close, but in the end, it's going to be the Rams that pull away. Let's say Arizona covers the spread, but loses 20-24.
And on Sunday at MetLife Stadium, the New York Jets, after coming away victorious in the Nathaniel Hackett Bowl, host the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles may be 5-0, but they remain very flawed. And I fully expect the New York Jets, like they did against the Chiefs, to keep this game close throughout. And I do expect the Jets to cover the spread. But at the end of the day, the Jets were in the red zone so many times against the Broncos last Sunday and only had 31 points to show for it. If Aaron Rodgers was starting that game, that would have been a 50-burger. I guarantee you they are not going to have similar fortune against the Eagles. Yes, they're going to keep it close because of their defense, but I just do not trust Zach Wilson, and especially that Jets offensive line minus Elijah Vera Tucker for the season going against Jalen Carter and that Eagles defensive line. It's going to be close, but I think the Eagles come away with a 24-20 victory.
You think it's going to be closer than I do. I, you know, this is one of those games that I look at and I go, you know, that Aaron Rodgers injury robbing us of what could have been a great game here. Yeah, the Jets, this is one of those games I try to figure out how they're even going to put points on the board. I think Philadelphia gets up early, coasts the rest of the way. I have it Philadelphia 30, Jets 13.
And last but not least for week 6, the red hot 4-1 Detroit Lions travel to Tampa to take on the NFC South leading Bucks. I like the job Baker Mayfield has done so far this season. But at the end of the day, are the Bucks ready to compete with the other big boys in the NFC? I am not so sure because Baker Mayfield, I just do not trust him to keep up with this high-powered Lions offense. And I believe Aiden Hutchinson is going to be schemed far away from Tristan Wirfs as possible, and he is going to give the other Buccaneers offensive lineman fits all day long. It's going to be close, but I like the Lions. Let's say 31-24.
I'm with your kind of thinking there, David. You know, I'm expecting Tampa Bay to put up a heck of a fight, and I feel the same way. I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up offensively. I've got a little bit lower scoring, but Detroit just covers that spread, 24-20 over Tampa.
And now on to our bold predictions for Week 6. You go first here, Hal. What do you got?
All right. My bold prediction. Hey, no A-chain, no problem in Miami. It's time for Mostert Mania. Raheem Mostert is going to carve up that Carolina defense. I was such a big fan of it before this season, but the injuries have wrecked it. Let's put him down for 250 yards or more on the ground in this game and 4 rushing touchdowns, including 3 of those 4 being of the 40 yards or more category. So big play Dolphins running game, number one rushing offense, 6.9 yards per attempt for the team right now. Big shout out to that running back coach and running game coordinator, associate head coach, whatever his title is, Eric Studsville. Stand up and take
coach,
a bow.
Coach Studsville, yeah, he's the man.
Stand up and take a bow. Yeah, you lose your rookie, no problem, not missing a step. It's Mostert Mania time.
Yeah, Eric Studsville was an assistant with the Broncos during the Peyton Manning years, and he was just the ultimate running back whisperer, and he's doing the exact same in Miami. And my bold prediction is, get a load of this, Hal, the Patriots-Raiders game will end in similar fashion as it did last year with that puzzling backwards pass that Chandler Jones returned for a touchdown. It's going to end in similar fashion on a fumble 6 at the gun, but only this time the Patriots are going to get the gift as Jimmy Garoppolo is going to lateral the ball to Jacoby Myers, and Jacoby Myers is going to throw a prayer in the air, but it gets returned all the way for a touchdown by, just give me any New England defender's name that comes off the top of your head, and that'll make it into my bold prediction.
Keon White, why not? The rookie.
Yeah, rookie Keon White, perfect. Yeah, Keon White, with that ridiculous athleticism, makes the game-winning play that Chandler Jones made last year in this matchup. And now on to our challenge flags, and I will go first here. My challenge flag goes to Broncos head coach Sean Payton. Sean Payton, you have no other choice here. For the past 7 or 8 years, the Broncos have been looking for every shortcut in the book to return to contender status. But while they were in the process of replacing the furniture, they ignored a rotting floor. And that rotting floor has bubbled to the surface like never before this season. So Sean Payton, you have no other choice. You have to embrace a full-scale rebuild and be willing to see it through, or risk tarnishing your legacy forever as somebody who always looked for shortcuts or somebody who quit on his team. So Sean Payton, your only way to salvage your legacy is to embrace the rebuild and it make it a full-scale one and be willing to be patient and see it through. That is my challenge flag. What about you, Hal?
I'm in that same vein. I'm going to take the Broncos, the Giants, the Patriots, the Vikings, the Bears, Arizona, throw Carolina in there. What the heck? But I was starting with the 1-4 teams. You need to get one of those top 2 picks. Dump for Drake, crashing for Caleb, whatever you call it. No wins for Williams, Muffet for May. I don't care what you call it. This is the quarterback year. Are you going to go 6-11, pick 8th or 9th overall, and miss out on this generational talent by going for the wins and selling out and not unloading while you can? All of these teams, the clock is ticking. Make your moves, start early. This is the year to rebuild and get one of those top 2 picks. Start now before it's too late.
He is Hal Bent, ladies and gentlemen. Catch his work in full press coverage, and you can follow him on X at HalBent01. Hal, thank you so much once again, and that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But we'll be back next week to recap Week 6, preview Week 7, and discuss all the latest news and notes from around the National Football League. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on X at DCrom59 and on Instagram, TikTok, and now Threads at Sports Crunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with a K. For Hal Bent, this is David Cromwell saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats and kittens, stay cool.